Our scripture passage speaks about making a vow to serve the Lord, and every song that we sing will make reference to vow and vowing before God and being under his vows. So let's read now together for this scripture, for this service, the scripture reading of 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And our text is in the passage of verses 10 to 19, and especially the verses 12 and 15. And we will be looking at King Asa and Judah's oath before God and each other. But hear the word of the Lord from the chapter 2 Chronicles 15, which is just after the wonderful victory over the Ethiopians by the hand of the Lord on the people of Judah under King Asa. And we read chapter 15, 2 Chronicles. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa as they were returning from the battle, and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So nation was destroyed by nation, and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you, be strong, and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon. For they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. So also he removed Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. And Asa cut down her obscene image, then crushed and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days. He also brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. So far, the scripture reading. May God bless just the reading of his word to us. I encourage you to have your Bible open to 2 Corinthians 15 as we think about this passage together. In this afternoon's installation service, dear congregation belonging to Christ, it is rather fitting that we have the text that we have. I mean with you shortly, Brother Mike Harbour, being installed again in the office of elder. In this, our third related sermon to King Asa, we hope to have one more yet after this as well. But in this sermon today, notice our main text in the second half of 2 Chronicles 15. It's about King Asa encouraged in God's ways, committing himself and the tribe of Judah with him and others, whoever was under his rule, to covenant renewal and faithfulness before God and their neighbors. We read thus in verse 12 and 15 of 2 Chronicles 15, "Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul, and he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around." This covenant that King Asa and the people made was not a new covenant or their own man-made covenant now. No, but as one study Bible rightly observed, this was a renewed and public recommitment with an oath even to keep the covenant the Lord already had made with their fathers. Without question, too, the great victory over the Ethiopians, as told in the chapter before, and all the spoil gained from that, plus the encouragement from the prophet Azariah at that very time, that helped stimulate now this time of covenant renewal. And it was a wonderful time. The prophet Azariah, remember, he had said to King Asa and Judah, as we read in verse 7, "But you," and it's in the plural, "but you over against those who waver and rebel against me, says the Lord, but you, King Asa and Judah, be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Well, I couldn't help but think of this all and see certain parallels from our text with this installation service this afternoon. You, Brother Mike, have served before in this congregation, both as deacon and as elder. And now again, you are being given the charge to help shepherd this flock faithfully in God's name and according to his word and will, after the manner of Jesus himself. When you answer the questions too later, as given in the installation form, it is like you before God and us taking an oath. Yes, to be faithful to God and his word. We with you are asking you to also so serve among us that we all together might be led and keep on going in the good and godly way of the Lord. So for your and all our encouragement, let's consider the theme of the sermon based now, especially on the second half of 2 Chronicles 15. King Asa's and Judah's oath before God and each other. Notice about this event. It was a matter so right, so rewarding, and so revealing. With our first point, that it was so right, what we are told happened during King Asa's reign here, this time of covenant renewal and faithfulness, does anyone here among us not agree with this assessment that it's so right what happened? Surely scriptures here presents it to us as something so right, so good, so blessed, the way King Asa and the people of Judah and Benjamin, plus some others, were being so wholly devoted to the Lord and his ways. We all know deep down, don't we, what is right and what is wrong. And without a doubt, 2 Chronicles 15, 10 to 19, tells us of matters clearly right before God and man. Isn't it always and only right when you and I are focused on seeking and serving the Lord with all our mind and heart and strength? Isn't it always right when people turn, yes, from wrong ways, yes, you and I too, and aim instead to reject all false ways and only to pursue and practice what is right and true and godly and God-honoring in submission to the Lord's will and word? As we can read in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You see, the Lord created us, didn't he, ever to seek and serve him as the one only true God, and to bring honor and praise to him. We were made for this purpose. And isn't this the way of fullness of life and eternal life, ever being in the Lord's ways? Namely, in abiding in his word and doing what he says for us, living in covenant faithfulness and obedience before him as directed by his word and will. And to be committed as a confessing Christian to serving God's church and kingdom faithfully as God calls us and gives us opportunity, don't we know and experience to refuse to do so is just not right? And that gives no peace. But to live all out in God's covenant faithfulness before God and in obedience to him and devotion to him and his church, we know that just feels right. And it gives more peace to us than whatever else there may be in the world and all the ways of sin and ungodliness. How sad and tragic when people live their lives not seeking and serving the Lord, knowing it's not right, but still refusing to turn from their evil ways and continually saying no to God and to his word and will. What fearful, just, and eternal punishment in soul and body awaits all whose soul will live and die. And isn't this even all the more true for those of us who are raised with the gospel word and blessed being born in a Christian family and with a godly upbringing, but we still stubbornly resist and reject God? Jesus himself warned us it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the last judgment day than for covenant breakers who willfully and deliberately, against better knowledge, turn from the Lord and against the Lord and his word. There is no joy when turning from the Lord and insisting on living in sin and the way of this ungodly world. Under King Asa, the people of Judah recommitted to seeking and serving the Lord alone. And clearly, how right was their way here. Following God in his word is only right for you and me in our earthly pilgrimage. Does anyone here among us not know this or refuse to believe this? Are you not now, Brother Mike, committed by God's grace and spirit to help lead this congregation onward in the right way? That is, to help shepherd us time and again in submission to all God's word and will, and not to turn in wrong ways, in any way at all, before God and others. We rejoice that truly we may believe with you and all the consistory we are given here in this church, men, brothers in the faith, to lead this congregation, being resolved only to lead it in the right way, in the Lord and under his gospel word, knowing that alone is right for us. And how good when this same is all our personal and corporate testimony now, as whole congregation of the Lord, with all the members, yes, from the youngest to the oldest, including the up-and-coming generation. Sadly, again, we know in Judah's time and Israel's history, there were all too many who refused to seek the Lord and do what is right. And instead, they just followed the way of sin and this world. They went with the way of the heathens. The people all too often said, the covenant people, for example, as we read in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, we will not walk in it, meaning we will not walk in the right ways that God puts before us according to his precepts and statutes. We will not walk in humble reliance before the Lord and his word every step of the way. But this afternoon, in this special service, let's all covenant, congregation, with God and with each other, that we will walk in God's ways, ever relying on him and his word. For that is the only right way to live. It's just so right, without a doubt. To encourage us further in this only right way, notice, secondly, how clearly so living and serving wholeheartedly and steadfastly is not only most right always, but it's so rewarding always, too. our second main thought. How is it rewarding? Well, for starters, just observe in the text how it brought so much joy and singing and praise on the part of the people. Verse 14 and verse 15 tells us of their shouting with a loud voice in jubilation, and there was the accompaniment of the trumpets and the ram's horns, all in glad affirmation, you see, of their renewed commitment in seeking and serving the Lord. We read in verse 15, all Judah rejoiced at the oath that they made. You see, it's so good to serve the Lord. It brings joy. Nothing gives a song in the heart and a skip to our walk as living in humble, hearty devotion to the Lord and His word and will. On the other hand, nothing gives so much reason for sighing and weeping and wailing and grieving and lamenting as the wages of sin and the way of rebellion against God and His word. Between church, I read Matthew Henry on our text chapter. I hadn't read that yet. And he says, if God has the heart, we have the joy. We have the joy. And that's true. That's the way it is. We read too, don't we, their worship at this time of covenant renewal. It was so filled with holy activity, with them offering gladly so much, especially after their great God-given victory over the Ethiopians. We're told they sacrificed no less than 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep. I mean, they were so intent on worshiping God and praising Him, coming to Him in and through the sacrifices as He had directed. Verse 15 mentions too, the people knew the Lord was pleased with them as they lived in humble, hearty praise and devotion to the Lord. You see, they had a sense of God's favor. And they had a sense of God's presence among them. They had a sense of assurance of faith from God. What a blessing. The text says the Lord was found of them. Plus the Lord gave them rest all around. And isn't this the way it is throughout Scripture? Life becomes so focused and purposeful and fulfilling and promising and secure when God and His Word is our God and our guide and our guard, whom we continually look to and follow after. The text mentions, as we learned in earlier sermons with King Asa, when he followed the Lord, he was blessed with peace and quiet for much of his 41-year reign. Oh yes, there was this battle with the Ethiopians, according to verse 10, around the 15th year of his reign. And then some conflicts that happened in the 35th year and following of his reign, according to the last chapter of or last verse of chapter 15 and the first verse of chapter 16. But much of his reign was quite peaceful and trouble-free for the most part in many respects. While walking in God's ways in wholehearted devotion, congregation, doesn't mean that we will never come into trials and struggles and conflicts, yet it does mean being spared a lot of trouble and turmoil and given much peace and blessing in life in many ways. You can prove it in the ways of the Lord. God's people are spared many evils that the people of the world and the ungodly and wicked experience because of their sins. We're spared that. Plus, we have the God of comfort with us in whatever struggles and trials we might yet meet with in life. Whereas in the way of the unrepentant and living in unrepentant, persistent sin and rebellion, you know, then God is not with you as your comforter and helper. But He's against you in His righteous wrath and in His holy displeasure. We read in Proverbs 13, verse 13 and 15, he who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. Is there any among us who has not yet learned God's ways and following after Him and His word is not only so right always, but so rewarding always too? When you and I have learned it, and keep learning it by God's grace and Spirit, then don't we come to agree with what the believing psalmist says, for example, in Psalm 84. verse 10 to 12. He says there, a day in your courts, Lord, is better than 1,000 in the ways of this world, in the ways of sin. I'd rather be a simple doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Yes, don't we see this loud and clear also in the words of the text and throughout these first two chapters about King Asa and 2 Chronicles? Always, congregation, it's so good to seek and serve the Lord in line with all his word and will. And to be resolved, yes, even with an oath before God and his church, that you will truly and always seek the Lord. And with all your mind and strength, you will follow him and serve him. Don't we make such an oath, actually, when becoming confessing members of the church? And yes, when installed in one or other of the special offices in Christ's church. As office bearers in the church, isn't this also our God-given calling in the name of the Lord? Namely, ever to call and to encourage and exhort and admonish all the congregation, from the youngest to the oldest, from the least mature to the most mature, truly and steadfastly to trust and follow the Lord and his word, and daily to flee from Satan and all sin and worldliness in our lives. Notice how the text chapter mentions the care and the exercise of the leaders to exhort all the people to seek and serve the Lord. Wherever Asa could have influence, that was his influence. And in their time of theocracy, when the nation was directly ruled by God, they could literally demand this, as verse 13 indicates, at least in form, if not from the heart, with the threat of death, physical death, if people would not listen and follow the Lord. Today, of course, we can only exhort, both in form and from the heart, in the name of the Lord. But there's still this loving warning from God, isn't there? From God above, of eternal death, really, for all who will not listen to God and his word and will for our lives. Oh, we are dependent on the Holy Spirit, aren't we, to bless this call and this warning by precept and example, that it be effectual and that it work with in the way of true conversion in all our lives and for all under our care. And isn't this what we as confessing church and as Christians, and especially as church leaders, need to keep bringing forward in all our shepherding and mentoring and teaching and preaching? And may we not be encouraged from our text passage about King Asa and Judah, here renewing by way of covenant and oath to do what is right and seeing how rewarded they were as a people. God hasn't changed. How the nation was blessed under the long reign of godly King Asa. And the people experienced so much good and so many blessings in body and soul when seeking and serving the Lord along with him and the others in the nation. You can research, congregation, for yourself world history, and you will find those nations that look to God, the God of the Bible, and follow after his commandments and his precepts, those nations have been the most blessed in many noticeable ways. Far above and different from those nations that are steeped in heathenism and in false worship and in paganism and secularism. King Asa and the people of Judah were rewarded in the time of seeking and serving the Lord. They were rewarded not essentially because of their own good works, but because in faith and repentance they looked to the Lord, the one only true God, to lead and keep them. And you see, God is so faithful. When we look to him, he will lead us in the way of covenant renewal and blessing. With him, there is earthly and eternal rewards of grace, all ultimately in and through Christ, the crucified and risen Savior of sinners. And the many sacrifices offered by the people in the temple of Jerusalem in the time of King Asa, as told in verse 11, reflected an understanding of how the Lord could be merciful to them and bountiful to them only always in and through the sacrifices brought to him in view of the promised Redeemer to come. And so we have to say, don't we, the true universal church of Christ in all ages always points to Jesus as the one source and hope of all our salvation from beginning to end, with the clear and constant calling ever to seek him as only Savior and Lord. And this is what we aim to do here, don't we? Yes, with God's help. Also as elders, and as consistory altogether, and as congregation. We constantly want to be pointing to and looking to Jesus. When it's well with us, we know and we experience. And you know and you experience us also as consistory members, as elders, deacons, and pastor. You experience us as ambassadors of Christ in the midst of the congregation, always pointing to Christ. To serve faithfully and well, we ourselves in the special offices need constantly to be looking to Christ ourselves. Congregation, will you pray for us that we as consistory members, also Brother Mike now again, that we always serve among you as ones looking to Christ and abiding in him, and so shepherd the flock that God gives us charge over. And saying this, we come to our third main thought under our theme about our text, King Asa and Judah's oath before God and each other. We learned their covenant renewal was so right and so rewarding. And then last, let's notice, it was so revealing. It's so revealing. And I say it's so revealing. For what do you think we will mention now further? What does the further story of King Asa and Judah end up telling us and showing us? Sadly so. It is that King Asa and Judah, as heartily resolved as they were, even with an oath ever to seek and serve the Lord, in the end, it wasn't their commitment to God that kept them, but it was God's commitment to them. Even the last part of King Asa's life, as we will learn more about in our next sermon, our last sermon about him, it shows that King Asa, on his own, he was prone to wander and to fall, just like us all. We will learn more about this next time, as I said, but consider how revealing that while we fail, God never fails. He keeps true to his promises, his covenant word to his people. That's what we can rely upon. The ultimate hope for us and strength for us and future for us doesn't lie in our commitment to God, but in his commitment to us. And while it's surely right and good, congregation, for you and me to commit and to recommit indeed to seek and serve the Lord, we must never rely on ourselves and our commitment to God. And praise God, the great, gracious, glorious message is never do we have to either. We have in and through Christ, as given by God the Father and as anointed by the Holy Spirit, we have the triune God pledge in covenant faithfulness ever to remember his people and to guide and guard and preserve his church to the last day and for eternal life hereafter. And it's only, congregation, because of God in all three persons as covenant faithful God, so infinitely reliable and trustworthy to all his covenant promises, that we can have so much hope and joy in all generations, also in the hard times. The Lord's cause will never fail, and his church will be extended to all nations and to all generations, because the Lord is always faithful. He will take care of it. Ultimately, it's not our vows to God, but his vows to his people, to believers and their seed, that makes all the difference. And that's what's revealing in our text passage. And the songs for this afternoon service really bring this out as well. Think of Psalter 303, stanza 2, based on Psalm 10, which we will sing later, as our doxology. We testify there with the redeemed church of God, thy people will be gladly thine when thou shalt come in might. like dawning day, like hopeful youth, with holy beauty bright, a priesthood that shall never end. The Lord has given these, speaking of Christ, this he has sworn, and evermore fulfilled his word shall be. This he has sworn, and evermore fulfilled his word shall be. Isn't that such a relief, really? That it's not up to us, ultimately, but up to God. Oh, this doesn't mean, oh, hear this right, it doesn't mean that we sit back, but it means rather ever trusting and following after the Lord and rejoicing in his faithfulness always and never resting in our faithfulness ever. Somehow, godly King Asa lost sight of this and instead foolishly began to rely on himself rather than on God alone. And the ending of his story is sad, though we may believe he still died a believer. God's faithful people are those who learn and learn ever increasingly. Never on this side of heaven can we trust ourselves before God and our neighbor, but always our covenant Lord God, Jehovah. He is the one we are to look to. And how trustworthy and reliable is he. And God has sworn by an oath, also in our baptism, hasn't he? That he will be our Savior God, never failing us, always out to bless us, now and forever, as we look to him. This is and remains a sure promise, even for all who wait on him and live for him in humble submission and happy service to him. So we sing in Psalter 152, stanza 4, based on Psalm 56, upon me are thy vows, O God, in whom I live. The sacrifice of praise to thee I now will give. For thou hast saved from death, from falling kept me free, that in the light of life my walk may be with thee. Well, let's learn this gospel truth, dear congregation. Namely, what is ever so right and rewarding and revealing as taught in our text passage? Will we all learn it and keep reminding ourselves of it for as long as we live? Strength to you, Brother Mike, as you with the rest of the consistory now exhort us in this way again and again. As God's appointed elder now in this church, in his name, may God crown your labors and give you much joy and blessing in serving him and in serving us in his name to his glory. Whatever the challenges and the struggles, and they will come, as King Asa had too, even with his ungodly grandmother and those high places of false worship that still remain in the land, yet let God be your and all our refuge and strength, and we will not be put to shame. May this coming year and the coming years in our church life be years of much blessing in our congregation. Yes, God grant that, and let's pray and work for this, that we might experience and witness the Lord giving spiritual and numerical increase in his church here also among us, and rest all around from those unrelenting forces of sin and evil so prevalent and persistent and perilous also in our times. And that the testimony of David, as given in Psalm 116 and expressed in Psalter 3:13, be what you and I may say and hear time and again in spirit and truth. Salvation's cup my soul will take, while to the Lord I pray, and with his people I will meet my thankful vow to pay. Even so, may this sermon on 2 Chronicles 15 be such a help to us in this godly way. Yes, this sermon with its theme, King Asa and Judah's oath before God and each other. So right, so rewarding, and so revealing. You won't forget it, will you? In Jesus' name, amen.